So every week, as I prepare for Sunday, one of the things I do is I pray over the scriptures and pray about which one will be the center focus of our worship together. And then I go searching for the picture that ends up on the front of your bulletin. And as I was reading these words of hers, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table," I went looking for pictures of dogs and crumbs and tables. And there was this one that didn't make it to the cover because I thought it might offend. Because there sitting at the table with his plate and silverware was a dog. And I thought, how many of us actually set a place for a dog at our table? We would think about germs and dog hair and all the other things that might come upon a dog sloppering for his food at our table. It wouldn't be the appropriate place for the dog. But I do know that Abby gets sometimes the best of my meal because I'm not the best eater. It seems I can't manage my fork from my plate to my mouth very well. And sometimes that really wonderful morsel that you just can't wait to eat falls on the floor, and Abby gets to receive it. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So when I moved from that thought of just a picture on a bulletin, I thought about the crumbs that come when we serve Holy Communion. And I was in a class on worship, and as the man was teaching us, was talking about the crumbs, that as we break the bread and we hand it to the person whose hands are crossed, crumbs, depending on how fresh or not fresh the bread is, begin to fall with each break. And he talked about the fact that in the midst of that great Thanksgiving, we ask the Holy Spirit to come upon that gift of bread and wine, to make them be the body and blood of Christ. The fact that these crumbs are grace-filled crumbs. And as he explained that to us, subsequent communions during course of study, I watched my classmates picking up the crumbs because they suddenly realized how special the crumbs that fell from the master's table were. But then it turned again for me because I turned to the Canaanite woman who made that statement to Jesus. And just like we wouldn't want a dog sitting at our table, at our place setting, in those days when that Canaanite woman approached Jesus, she would not be a woman that would have been welcomed at their table. Because she was a woman who practiced the faith traditions of Canaanites, which was a faith tradition of idol worship and sexual practices around their worshiping. So she would have been a woman that they would have considered a dog and not worthy to be at the table. But she reminds us, as she reminded Jesus, of the promise of salvation for all. Whether you're a Canaanite woman, a dog, as they would be called, or a member of the inner circle. But the real people in this story we need to pay attention to are the disciples. The disciples teach us something about ourselves because we aren't Jesus. Though some of us may have been a Canaanite woman at one point in our lives, but we now are all disciples. So what do the disciples do in this particular story? Well, let's listen again. The Canaanite woman is calling out for help. Jesus is ignoring her. So what do the disciples do? The disciples, can you imagine? They probably hear her, and she's being adamant, insistent, persistent, because she knows who can heal her. Even though she's not one of them, she knows it's Jesus she should come to. And she is calling and calling and calling. So what do the disciples say? Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. Send her away. But at the end of this passage, we learn that sending her away was not the right answer. The disciples were very similar to the Pharisees and the scribes that were the beginning of this section, as Jesus was talking about what is clean and what is unclean, and that the Pharisees and the scribes were upset because Jesus was changing the rules. That for them, those rules of what we eat were more important than what the nature of our heart was. That for them, following those particular guidelines made us right with God. And Jesus' answer to them was no. What we put in our mouths, even with unclean hands, that means no germicide or hand sanitizer, isn't what defiles us. It's what's here in our hearts. What makes boundaries and separates us from one another. That Canaanite woman was one of those who was separated because of how they saw her, how they believed her to be unworthy of even the master's crumbs. But she reminds us, as she reminded Jesus, as she reminds the disciples, that the crumbs actually get eaten by those who are under the table. And as I listened to that word this morning and last night and all week, as I watched the news and heard the levels of boundaries and divisions that we continue to make with one another, how we separate ourselves out of fear and distrust and anger and unforgiveness and bitterness, all which create boundaries. As disciples, we are called to love. Called to remove those boundaries. We are called to offer Christ. To offer the bread of forgiveness. The wine of salvation. How many have you heard that say, I am unworthy to come to the table? When if we all looked at ourselves, we would be unworthy of Christ's table. But it's grace-filled bread, grace-filled crumbs that we are offered. Grace to us, even in our sinful state, but also grace to those outside the bounds of what we call our community. And until we extend and offer and share the love of Christ with them, the opportunity isn't there for them to say yes and to receive. Not all of them are the Canaanite woman who know where to come. But how many know where to come but are afraid to come in the doors because of the boundaries that we set up, the rules that we set up, that the church of Christ sets up, so that they don't see grace and salvation here. They see condemnation and unforgiveness here. Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. We don't know if her daughter was there. We don't know where her daughter was. He didn't lay hands on her. All we know is the statement of fact that her faith in Christ's ability to heal and her persistence in asking for that healing brought the healing upon a child of a Canaanite woman, someone outside the bounds of who they understood themselves as followers of Jesus Christ, as people of God's chosen race. What we also don't know, as was pointed out in our Bible study is what happened to the Canaanite woman afterwards. We don't know if she became a follower of Christ or not. Another aspect of the lesson that we as disciples are to learn. We are called to bring them to Christ. We are called to share the gospel message of Christ. We are called to welcome them at the table so that they don't only get the crumbs. But the rest is in God's hands. Their salvation is God's. Their healing is God's. All we are called to do is to let go of the things that create the boundaries and allow love and God's grace to do God's work. The Canaanite woman knew who she was to go to. The disciples got in her way. Who are we getting in the way of? And who are we welcoming in and offering the bread of Christ? Brothers and sisters, I have watched doors open here. I've watched people walk in whom you did not even expect to enter these doors. But there are more to come. There are more Canaanites out there than there are disciples. So we, this morning, are challenged to go forth. Proclaim the good news, not offer the breadcrumbs, but offer the bread of life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.